Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Matthew. If not, it'll be on the screen. Hey, children, you can go with Miss Amanda. All right, today's message is titled Unshakable Trust in God's Plan. Unshakable Trust in God's Plan. You know, it was a bright Sunday morning and the kids in Sunday school were unusually restless. And Miss Carol, the teacher, was doing her best to keep everyone focused as she started her lesson on the Ten Commandments. She wrote on the whiteboard, "Thou shalt not." And she said, "Now class, these are the important rules God gave to help us live by. Can anyone tell me what we should do if we break one of God's commandments?" And the room went quiet for a moment. And little Ben slowly raised his hand. And Miss Carol said, "Yes, Ben, what should we do?" Ben leaned forward with all confidence. And he said, "Well, Miss Carol, I think we should fix it before Mom finds out." The gospel was written, this gospel was written by Matthew, also known as Levi, who was a former tax collector, most likely written between AD 50 and 60. Now, Matthew left everything behind to follow Jesus, and he wrote primarily to the Jewish believers, or the Jewish people, to give an account of Christ. He wrote for kingship to show it. All right, Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. "Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.' And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft garments are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's a good day. Lord, we come before you and we ask that you would fill us with your word. Lord, we make many stupid decisions every day. Small ones, big ones, medium ones. We ask that you forgive us, that you would cleanse us. Lord, we miss out on divine meetings because we're not paying attention to you. Forgive us. Forgive us for that. Put in our midst people who need to know about the kingdom. Let us come and teach them about salvation. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for all that you've said and all that you've done in our lives and continue to do in our lives in church. We ask that you would continue to grow us from the ground up, both spiritually and numerically, and even physically when we're talking about the children, Lord. We ask that you protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Jesus knows all things. Jesus knows all things. He has something for us to do, and he's empowered us by the Holy Spirit to do it. Did you know that? You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus is calling you to do. Well, how do I know this? Well, because Jesus knows the end from the beginning. Matthew 11, 2 through 6 says this, "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you coming? Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.'" You see, it was pretty common knowledge that John the Baptist was in prison for saying some things to Herod about his brother's wife, which Herod took as his own wife. And we know from Matthew and the other gospel accounts this reason. And it's not explicitly stated here in our particular scripture, but it is stated later on in Matthew 14, verse 3, which says, "For Herod had laid hold of John and bound and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. And therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. And so she, having been prompted by her mother, said, 'Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter.' And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. And so he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus." Now, when we look back at our scripture, it says, you know, a couple of things that we're going to go over. However, at this point, John, what's he doing? What's he doing in this particular scripture? Well, he's sitting in a prison cell, and he's probably a little depressed. I know I would be. But see, he's wondering why the Messiah has not brought his kingdom yet, you know, to overthrow the Romans. He was kind of like the others at this time. He was looking for a Messiah to be a political ruler. And that's what they wanted. And someone would overthrow the Romans and take charge. That's what they were looking for. However, we know that Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to do that very thing, but he didn't do that yet. Jesus had not died. He'd not been resurrected yet, nor had the book of Revelation been written yet. So there we have the whole picture related to this, and guess what? They don't. They're just now starting to get their theology corrected. And so John sends out two of his guys to ask a simple question. Are you the Messiah, or do we wait for someone else? Notice Jesus' answer here. He doesn't just give a yes, but he says to report what they have seen, to report the fulfillment of prophecy, and to give a small rebuke to John. What was that rebuke? Well, he said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And when Jesus came the first time, he fulfilled a ton of prophecy in the Old Testament. And when he comes again, he'll fulfill it all. Jesus, a lot of times, does the same thing to us. When we get into doubt and fear, he often sends something small to rebuke us, to get us put right back on the path that we should be on, to put us right in our mindsets. With that comes something that we all love doing, and that's called repentance. And if that's what we need at the time, well, then that's what we need at the time. Because with repentance comes forgiveness. With forgiveness comes cleansing. And that, folks, is wonderful. You know, we often don't see the interconnectedness of the events in our lives until we look back after a long period of time. Even then, we often miss it. We often miss where God has been at work. But you see, God sees it. And the things that you have been through and the things that you're going to go through, and he knows the big picture. He knows the ending from the beginning. He is the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. And one day we will not, or we will, see it as well. But this time, on this earth, we only see partially, But one day we will see fully. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but the face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known." I want you to put your thinking caps on and go back to, that's such a teacher thing to say, isn't it? Put your thinking caps on. Yeah, that's what happens when you've been a teacher for 11 years. Think about the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. I want you to think about it. He was sold into slavery only later to become a ruler in Egypt. God used every event to shape a greater plan, which Joseph could not foresee. Jesus, who knew Joseph's story at this time, works similarly in our lives. Even when we don't understand our circumstances, we don't understand why we are where we are, why God has put us where we are, we can trust that the same God who orchestrated Joseph's life knows our ending from our beginning. He's going to make things happen. Brings us to number two. Jesus has something for you to do while you're doing all of this, while you're waiting on Him, while you're in your doubt, and while He soothes those doubts, while you've got something to do. Did you know that? You're not here to just sit. You're here to do. Matthew 11:7 says, "As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Notice something here. John's disciples left before Jesus started to address the crowd about John. Notice that Jesus was addressing the crowd about John, but John's disciples weren't there. They'd left. They'd gone. So, John didn't get a report of what Jesus actually thought about him. That's kind of odd for us, don't you think? But, you know, sometimes you can go through some things through life and you get a little rebuked by the Lord, but you don't always get to hear everything the Lord actually thinks about you. How do we not know that Jesus isn't up in heaven and he turns to an angel and he says, "Look at this one, look at this guy, look at this girl. Look what I have done with him, how I have changed them, how I have made them new. How, what they're going to do for me." You know, there's a really famous guy in the Bible who this happened to that we can look at and say, hey, you know, that could happen to me. And that famous guy, his name is Job. Job chapter 1 verse 6 says this, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.' And then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" This happened to Job. Was he privy to this conversation? No. And if you were here on Wednesday nights, you'd know he wasn't, because we just went through the book of Job. Do you not think those same conversations still happen today? Of course they do. God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he does not change. Jesus praises John in his ministry when he's addressing the crowd. He reminds them what they went out to see. Not a king in a plush palace, but a man who was a prophet, and even more than a prophet, as he was the preparer of the way for Jesus. He was the preparer of the way. That's a high calling. That's a high thing. No, John wore camel's hair and he ate grasshoppers. He couldn't be bought off. He couldn't fall into the trap of wealth or even be accused of it. John was a hard man. And his ministry was prophesied 400 years earlier by Malachi in the book so aptly named Malachi. Jesus has a ministry for all of us to do. Something he wants you to do. Find out where God is working and jump in and get it done. You know, the story of Gideon in the book of Judges is a powerful story and falls right into what we're talking about. Gideon felt like the least in his family, and he doubted his abilities a lot. Yet God called him to save Israel from the Midianites. How? Through tests of faith. Gideon learned that his strength came from God, not his own abilities. Today, Jesus is calling us to step out in faith, despite self-doubt, reminding us that he empowers us to fulfill his mission in unique and new ways. Find out where he is working and let him use your distinctiveness to fulfill his mission. There is something you can do that no one else in this room can do. So do it. Walk in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Walk in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Matthew 11:11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Notice Jesus says that John is greater than all the prophets that came before. Greater than Elijah and Elisha. Greater than Ezekiel. Greater than Jeremiah. Greater than Malachi. Greater than all of them. Why? Because he was the preparer for the Messiah. He was the preparer for the Messiah. He said, make way for the Lord. But you, each one of you who are saved and are sitting in that seat, are more powerful and indeed more blessed than John the Baptist was. Now, how can you say that? Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophets of old. But you, if you're a true Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, constantly with you. He does not come and go, but he is constantly with you. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And because of that one simple fact, you get to approach where no one has ever been able to approach in the history of God's kingdom here on earth. And what is that place? Well, that's the throne room of God. We get to approach it without fear because of the grace found in Jesus. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have the wonderful ability to approach God's throne of grace and to come without fear, without shame, without recrimination. Do you understand? Do you fully comprehend what a blessing that truly is? And we use that word blessing so flippantly today. Well, bless her heart. You know that means the opposite, right? If you're Southern. Blessing, folks. That's a blessing. That's amazing. That's powerful. Now, here's an odd thing to say right after that. Jesus says, the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, there are two main ways to interpret this, and it's considered orthodox, which Orthodox means biblical. You can take it either way. However, I think the best way will be way number two. But here's the first way. It could mean that the kingdom of heaven is being attacked by violent men. After all, John was in prison at this time, and he was about to be beheaded. Bloodshed and violence were at a high time as Jesus' kingdom came forth. So it could be that this verse speaks of the kingdom of heaven suffering violence by enemies trying to overtake it with force. It could mean that. It could mean both things. Or, and this is what I subscribe to, it could be that the kingdom of heaven is taken by men and women who are aggressively, enthusiastically seeking God and are taking hold of it. They have no other task that is more important. You know, when a soldier goes to war, he seeks to do his duty, putting the cares of this life aside. So it is with those seeking the kingdom of heaven. It's not for those who just sit back apathetically and let things happen. Well, God will do what God will do. No, they find God and they move to make the things happen in God's power that he wants to happen. It could be that the Lord has both meanings in mind. But again, if I had to pick one, I believe the latter one. Now, what is he talking about that John is Elijah who is to come? What is that? What is that all about? That's just weird. That's really not. In this time, it was said that Elijah must physically, bodily return from heaven before the Messiah is to come. But Jesus says that John is the fulfillment of that prophecy, not Elijah. John is the forerunner. John comes in the spirit and the power of God in the same way that Elijah did. Now, this would have been hard for these people to accept. We accept it because we have hindsight bias. We get to see what was behind us. We get to see a bigger picture than they do. But it was hard for them to accept, which is why he says, "Let him who has ears, let him hear." In other words, if you get what I'm putting down, then pick it up. And just as Elijah and John prepared the way for the Lord to do mighty works, so we should be preparing our hearts and lives to let God do mighty works through us. That was not so that we may get any glory out of it, but that Jesus gets all the glory. Will you let Jesus use you and things he has entrusted to you to be used? Or will you sit on your hands and fret over the things that you have no control over? Folks, it's time we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that Elijah and John walked in. That's the power to prepare for Jesus to be made much of. We're here to make much of Jesus. Will you do that today? Will you get up? Will you do that today? Will you be kingdom-minded? Will you let the kingdom be what it's about? You know, Jesus, he knows all things. And he has something for us to do. And he has empowered us by the Holy Spirit to do it. As ladies come,